get you, Burnett Stone.
No, you won't, because the magic you refuse to believe in will get the better of you.
Doing trick flicks, you're doing trick flicks. We watch bad movies and try to fix it. Welcome to Frick Flicks.
Wow.
All right.
That
what
was
we watch?
Hard. We watched Thomas in the Tank Engine and the Magic Railroad, right?
Thomas and the Tank Engine and the Magic Railroad.
Yep.
All of those things.
A.K.A. Drug Heaven.
That is how it feels. It does feel like Drug Heaven.
Oh, man. So Alec Baldwin is in this movie.
He is.
Before he, you know, just shot some people, you know.
Gross negligence, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his whole persona in this movie is gross negligence.
This should have been the warning sign, is what you're trying to say.
We should have known. Yeah, so I'll kind of jump into the plot a little bit. Correct me when I'm wrong, okay?
Please. I don't even really know what happened during this movie.
I don't know. This is my best bet, and if we're totally wrong, then oh well. So, we live in this town. We don't. They do.
Okay, wait. How much have you had before we get started?
I'm catching some of that pixie dust, bro. That sparkly dust. I'm catching.
I feel like, yeah, the sparkle.
Dude, I'm catching a little bit of that sparkle right now. No, please describe it. I'm lost for words right now.
Dude, I want to, okay, just really, really super briefly, what's your best attempt?
Okay, I'll do it. The Reader's Digest. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, there's a town full of people that look like they're in the 2000s. There's a conductor dude that likes to poof out his magic and teleport like he's out of Star Trek. All of a sudden, he realizes his supply is low, so he's like, I can't go do that. There's this old dude that's turned on by a train, and he's sad because she doesn't turn on anymore. And there's this little kid that's like, Grandpa, bro, get off your stuff. And he's like,
get on Prozac.
He's like, no, I want to be sad. So later on, all your favorite Thomas the Tank Engine characters are there, but they're useless and trash. Their voiceovers suck. Thomas is just the worst. He says he's a good guy and responsible, but he just ships off all his responsibilities to all his friends and says, goodbye, suckers. And then there's this bad guy that's just like, hey, yo, I'm gonna pinch you. That's his main motivation. He wants to pinch people to death. I think that's... I don't know. It's a little kinky, but he kind of just likes to do it, you know? And so that's his main goal. He just wants to do stuff like that. Anyway, all of a sudden, this girl who gets abandoned by her mom and she's left on a train to go to Smallville and meets the conductor's Scottish broski, who's definitely, he's definitely on drugs. There's no question. And he wants to give it out to infant children. Like, he's totally cool with that too. So we catch him on the beach and he has to now be responsible because the conductor's like, bro, help me with the magic dust, I'm running low. And he's like, okay, let me get help. And so he ends up teleporting, finds her and goes, yo, do you want to come back to the magic land? And she's like, yeah, I'm so naive, I don't know what else to do. So boom, they end up in the magic land. The conductor dude is completely on meth. He's just tripping out and he's lost in the woods and doesn't know how to get back. And all of a sudden, when he does get back, the diesel bro comes over there and snags him and goes, yo, it's time to die. Let me pinch you to death and drop you off this cliff. All of a sudden, Alec Baldwin flips off this piece of pliers and boom, he flies next to the windmill he's been looking for this whole time. And so, la-di-da-di-da, everybody kind of shows up. They meet the old man and they're like, yo, we can get your girlfriend wife train thing to finally wake up if you just believe. So Thomas shows up to that world. He falls off a cliff. He should die. Everyone knows he dies. He somehow comes back and Diesel gets basically flown off the edge of the side, falls into this boat thing, and he's gone forever. The lady train is now alive. The dude is super happy. He's so super pumped. The Scottish guy, after almost dying from Diesel Dude, he gets saved, of course, and learns that being responsible is better than drugs, or maybe just as good as drugs. And they live happily ever after, and everybody gets their sparkle. The end.
Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle.
That's my best.
I think you did a fantastic job. I mean, that's about it. Here's like the craziest thing about this movie is that a lot happens, but like it's a movie that should be aimed at toddlers, right? Because mm-hmm. It's about Thomas the Tank Engine, right? It's supposed to be right? for like little kids.
Yeah.
And for some odd reason, they decided to like give it the most complicated plot ever.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Most of the story revolves around Mr. Conductor, played by Alec Baldwin, who is like trying to take over the Isle of Sodor from Sir Topham Hatt while he's away. And Diesel, who's a character that everyone knows except for the audience because he's a new character, just shows up out of the blue and all the engines are like, oh, he's back. Mr. Conductor, you need to help us because he's just a menace. But he's not really a menace. He like legit wants to kill everyone, which is just... I don't know. That's kind of weird to put in a kid's movie, but whatever. We'll skip over that.
Yeah.
But then he also, like, has this magic issue where, like, his magic is going away. Uh-huh. That in itself is, like, a plot.
Yes. Like,
did you really need to add in Mara Wilson's character, who shows up, like, 15 minutes into the movie and just, like, kind of shows up periodically to just kind of stare blankly at the screen and line read? Like, does she need to be there?
No.
Does the guy who wants to, you know, who has a special relationship with Lady need to be there? Like,
no!
It's so weird. Yeah. I don't even know why Junior's there for the most part, because, like, he kind of fits into Mr. Conductor's storyline, but he shows up halfway through the film for, like, a scene, and then disappears, and then only, like, is there for, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie.
I know.
And then, like, Thomas isn't even in the movie. Like, you think he would be the main character for a movie called Thomas and the Magic Railroad, and he's not in the movie.
Yeah, like, what is Thomas's conflict besides wanting to help the situation? Like, what do we learn about Thomas? Nothing.
No, we barely get to hear anything about Thomas. We just know he's kind of a jerk to his friends, and... they're like passive aggressive to him, so he like kind of, you know, makes jokes about them stuff and banters with them a little bit. That's about it. That's all we get.
Right.
Like, I love that scene where Henry's like, I'm sick, and Thomas is just like, well, I don't care. That was a good scene.
Yeah. Thomas is pretty savage, I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just... it's super strange. I mean, the tonality of this movie is all over the place. Because they jump between the two worlds so many times. It's just like, what am I supposed to learn? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. There doesn't seem to be, like, a solid... I think I know what the main premise of the movie is.
Okay.
Because, or the thematic element of the movie. It's about not losing your idea of magic.
Okay.
Not losing touch with magic, right? Because at the beginning, when Lily, Mara Wilson's character, is introduced, she's described as, like, you know, being able to see magic where others have forgotten to look for it.
Yeah.
Like, in headlights on the street. Which is a really weird line, but, you know, whatever. And then... Peter Fonda's character's failing is the fact that he has lost touch with magic, and when he believes in it again is what Mr. Conductor gives, like, credence to when he makes a Lady actually drive again. Not the magic coal that Lily brought, but the fact that he believed in her. And then Mr. Conductor and his cousin had to believe that they would succeed in order for them to succeed. So they had to embrace the magic in order to have the magic. And I think that's the idea of the thematic elements of Thomas and the Magic Railroad that is not well actually written. But I think that's what you're supposed to learn.
I think so.
I mean, there. Why have room for backstory and actual plot when you can just see things get wrecked by the claw dude and them just being like, shh, we're taking drugs, but this is also a kids movie, so tell no one.
Well, that's what kind of comes across as like the weird element, because you can sort of like make the argument that if it was written in a way that didn't completely invoke drugs at every corner, you could make the argument that it's like, oh, it's like both kids and adults should learn how to embrace magic and use it in their day-to-day life to solve problems, you know, and fall in love with living again, things like that. But what it seems to more come off of is it seems to come off as like a pro-drug picture.
Yeah.
Like all the characters are super reliant on the gold dust to do like basic simple tasks. Like Mr. Conductor ends up like sleeping out on the streets because he can't like teleport back to his house and he has no idea where it is.
Oh and my gosh, yeah.
There's never like a moment where he learns how to like live without the gold dust and helps him become a better person. Like, legitimately, once he runs out of gold dust, he does not move from that windmill after he gets tossed off by Diesel. And like days go by and he just sits there. Like, he has no functionality outside of like this substance that he's reliant on. And I feel like that's a really weird message to give to children.
Oh my gosh.
You're, and then freaking what's his bucket? The Peter Fonda's character has he doesn't end up getting over Lady not working again and the fact that all of his efforts to like make her run again have failed. Like there isn't a moment where he goes, I wanted this so badly because like me and my wife used to like run her, because you hear like the two kids talking about him getting Lady to run and stuff and the adventures that they have, like, you know, we joke, but like in reality what they're trying to invoke is that him and his wife like had a special relationship with magic when they were kids and that sort of took the form of Lady, right? Yeah. And then when she stopped working and his wife died, like him trying to get her to work is sort of like him trying to recapture his time with his wife and recreating his childhood. And what's super weird about the movie is there isn't a moment where he goes, you know, I loved this, but at the same time, like, now I have this granddaughter who, you know, needs me right now, and I should reconnect with her. Like, there's never a point where those two end up relying on each other to create magic, like a new sense of wonder in the world. He just is really depressed, and then she shows up out of the blue after being gone for like a whole day, which he doesn't care very much about. He's just kind of like, people could disappear sometimes. She's probably on the Isle of Sodor. Like, he seems really cavalier about it. And then when she shows up, she's just immediately like, oh, Thomas brought magic coal. I'll bet that will work. And then it works. Like, he never has to like come to terms with the fact that he failed and that he should be looking for other avenues to create magic or move on. Like, he just gets what he wants. Again, it's a bad message for children.
Yeah, right? Oh, I know. It's just kind of insane. I mean, you see aspects of a human being, but all of them just don't emote what anybody should do in any of those circumstances. You know what I'm saying? Because you have Alec Baldwin's character, and you have the Scottish dude, his cousin, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're not acting of this world. So
no one
has a sense of human relatability. Like, I don't know who I'm supposed to trust to act normal in this entire movie. So I feel pretty much lost, you know, in the sense of, like, what am I... Because I'm always like, what am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to do? And the fact that you pulled that out of there, you know, props for you, because that's not what I sensed at all. And just because they didn't portray it very well. So it's such an idea of like this Peter Pan, like, oh my gosh, like the magic of youth. But it's so lost by these wackadoo characters. Like, there's nothing charming about them. They're just like, let's just act like we crazy out here. And, like, the tone. Okay, I can't stress it enough. The tone for me is what gets me. Like, I don't know what the tone is or where the consistency lies, but there is none.
There's just a bunch of movies that, like, all don't connect together in the slightest. Like, I feel like each scene, when each scene ends, I feel like I'm in a completely, I'm just positive in a completely different movie.
Yeah.
Like, when there's, like, that transition between Alec Baldwin landing on the flower things, and he's just like, oh, you put those here for me, you know? And he, like, literally just escaped death via getting tossed off of a bridge, you know, to his own demise. And now he's, like, talking to the camera like it's Blue's Clues. And then the scene ends, and then all of a sudden you're, like, in the middle of, like, a field on the Isle of Man with two child characters who cannot express any emotion playing on a tire swing. And they're, like, mumble-talking to each other. And I'm like, I'm sorry. What? Where?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Like, this movie has no idea what it wants to be.
No, it doesn't. And the only grace you can kind of give it is, oh, it's a kids' movie. But at least with kids' movies, there's way too much grace for, like, having a kids' movie with this movie. You know what I mean? Like, that's a bad excuse.
Well, it's not even... Here's the problem with it, is that you can use it... Like, I'm usually okay, especially with something this... Like, aimed at this young of an audience, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no kid over, like, age, let's say, maybe 8 at the oldest, is going to be interested in Thomas the Tank Engine.
Right.
Right? Like, you're not gonna be... you know, going into, like, the fourth grade and, like, admit that you like Thomas the Tank Engine. Like, it's just not going to happen. So, but the issue is that there's so much in here that's, like, really complicated. I mean, you and I watched it together and we kind of were sitting there like, oh, wait, what's going on? Like, a lot of the scenes just, like, meander or don't make sense or aren't well explained or jump from scene to scene without a lot of continuity. Like, if you're, let's say, 4 or 5 years old and you're watching this movie, like, how are you supposed to follow any of it? It's not explained well to a young audience, and it has so many scenes with characters that are not Thomas and his friends and are just, like, not even kids your age. Like, it's not even, like, little kids. It's, like, kids in their, I don't know, young teens, I guess, you know? Like...
Mm-hmm.
Middle schoolers, and how are you supposed to, like, you don't relate to them, like, you don't know what's going on. like, there's so much in this movie that's just really slow and dramatic, and then other scenes that are, like, kind of fast-paced and jokey, but I think a little too fast. Like, I kind of liked Diesel's two henchmen, because a lot of their jokes are actually kind of funny. They have this, like, kind of weird banter to him where, like, they work for Diesel, but they also, like, enjoy his pain and the fact that he always gets what he deserves at the end. And that's kind of amusing. They sort of break the dumb henchman stereotype in a couple of scenes. But if you're a kid, you have no idea what they're saying because they talk too fast and they're too quiet. And how are you supposed to process what's going on over there? So I'm like, are they there for the adults? But they're not quite funny enough that, like, they're nodding towards the adults. And it's really weird. Very confusing movie.
This is how I honestly feel about the movie. It's like when you change channels between shows and you kind of just don't know what's going on between both of them. That's how the whole movie feels.
Yes. That is exactly how it feels. It feels like you're sitting, like, on a Friday night, like, you're in the house and you're just, like, aimlessly, just mindlessly flipping from channel to channel, and you're, like, kind of stuck between 3 different TV shows that you're, like, kind of interested in, but as you flip between them, like, and then get stuck between commercial breaks and stuff, you can't track anything that's happening. You're like, I don't know, who are these people again? Where am I? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, right? The highlight is, though, of this movie, the only thing that really got me was, one, the voice acting is atrocious at some point.
Oh, so bad. Especially James's voice. It doesn't fit him at all as a character.
Hello, I'm James.
It's me, James. I'm James.
Hi, guys. I'm just stuck in my
evil dark layer room of death.
It's like, what happened? James was dope and they changed him up.
So sad.
Anyway, and the faces that they make for their expressions, dude, some of them are just crazy. Like, I didn't even know that was an emotion half the time. Their faces go wild. I'm like, whoever made that model was like, yeah, that looks like normal. You know, that's a normal looking face. Let's slap it on there. It's like, holy cow.
Diesel's faces are particularly fun to look at.
Dude, bro.
Especially the, that's right, it's sugar scene.
Dude, his face is like, whoa. Dude, let's talk about Alec Baldwin for a little bit. Let's go in depth with him.
Oh gosh, Alec Baldwin. Yeah. His character, Mr. Conductor. Now, this is actually kind of interesting because I looked this up before we started this movie because I've always been very confused. Like, what is Shining Time? What are these live action segments? What is Mr. Conductor? Why did they feel the need to invent this whole real life world for this movie when, like, the Isle of Sodor is its own thing that's very beloved, right? It turns out that Shining Time was actually a television program that ran in the U.S. on, I think at first it was on Fox Family, which is a cable channel. I forget what it's called now. It's changed names, but, and also on Nick Jr. back in the 90s. And I think it ended in like 99 or something. That whole set, the Shining Time set, that lady who wore the nice red suit, like, oh, that's a good fit. She's actually in the show. And Mr. Conductor was a character in the show as the little guy who, like, kind of took care of the place using magic. And those, they would have, like, these live-action segments that would play where there would be, like, some kind of mild trouble in Shining Time, and then they'd have to, like, fix it. And in between those segments, they would play Thomas the Tank Engine episodes.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of Americans who had cable television, that's how they would watch Thomas the Tank Engine, apparently.
Wow. Okay. So this is like a big crossover then.
Yeah, it actually is. Like, it is a crossover. And what's hilarious, and I have to show you this at some point, it's at least going into either our review or our watch along. There's like, you can actually find full episodes of this online. And the first Mr. Conductor was played by Ringo Starr.
What?
Yeah, he's in it because, you know, he used to narrate the British Thomas the Tank Engine show.
Dude, I never knew that.
You never knew that? Yeah, no. He's also in Shining Time as the conductor, and it is the most it may actually be more uncomfortable than this movie. Nothing is more uncomfortable than this movie, but it still has like an uncanny quality to it. And part of the reason why the studio thought that this movie got such bad reviews was because Shining Time was not a thing that played in England. And this movie premiered in England because Thomas the Tank Engine is an English character, right?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was like really confused by it. But I also didn't know about the Shining Time TV show growing up because I didn't have cable.
Yeah.
If I watched Thomas the Tank Engine, it was going to be on PBS, which was just rebroadcast from the UK. Yes. So I feel like most Americans also had no idea what Shining Time was. And I would put money down that like parents didn't either. So it seems like an odd idea to do this crossover between Shining Time, which was like this cable vehicle to bring Thomas to America, and then use that as your big screen backdrop, I guess? Like, that, I don't know why they decided to do that. Because it is. It's super confusing. And if you don't know anything about this world, it's like, what is Shining Time? Why are these characters here? Like, who is Mr. Conductor? What is Mr. Conductor? Like, what does this mean?
Bro, it'd be like if Nickelodeon had their biggest show ever. Like, say, like, SpongeBob or Drake and Josh. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they made a whole movie where they threw in this, like, like, cartoon that no one's heard about. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know what this is, right? You're like, no. But the problem is, it's basically Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4? How is it Toy Story 4? Explain.
Because, okay, so Toy Story 4 has all your main homies, right? You got Buzz, you got Woody, you got Jesse, you got, you know, the potato heads and all that, you know, Ham and all those fun stuff, Slinky. So in Toy Story 4, they don't care about any of those characters, right? But it's a movie about them. Toy Story 4, all you hear about is all these other new characters that you don't care about, and they run the whole show. So it's the whole vibe. I don't care about any of those characters. I don't care about Alec Baldwin characters. I don't care about any of these human characters. I just want Thomas. I don't want this Thomas. This Thomas is lame, but you know what I'm saying. He's a brat. But it has the same vibe where I'm like, we are paying so much more attention to characters that we don't really know. Like, they should be the side characters, and Thomas and his world should be the whole shebang.
Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with that. There's no reason why Thomas and the other characters, Percy, Toby, you know, there's just so many characters, and they're all given, like, super brief mentions. And when I was kind of looking up trivia on this movie, apparently a lot of fans were really upset that Edward didn't make an appearance. He's the smaller blue train. Because, you know, there's Gordon, and then there's Edward, and then there's Thomas, that are the three sizes of blue train.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't exist. And apparently his model was never finished, leading many people to believe that this movie was rushed. Which would not surprise me, considering what I watched today.
Right. How could you not have a character like the main
character. Like one of the major characters. This is like the Avengers or the X-Men or something. Like, everybody has a favorite character in this lineup,
right?
Especially when you're like a child, you know. You see kids playing with these train sets. This movie came out in the 2000. It was like the height of Thomas's popularity, and there were kids like all over the place. You couldn't go to like a pizza restaurant without there being like a train table full of Thomas toys, and each kid would pick out their favorite character and roll it around and around.
Oh yeah,
it's insane that they wouldn't have every character in it. And especially since like some characters barely get a mention.
I know.
Like, what does James do this movie? He literally, like, sits in his one hut for the entire thing, having a terrible voice actor, and then, for some reason, is in the death room, and then Junior has to save him from certain death. Like, there's no... Like, what if that's your favorite character? What if James is your favorite character? What are you supposed to do? What if Percy's your favorite character and you realize the entire time he's just a scaredy cat and a loser that's manipulated by Thomas the whole time?
Dude, I think James was my second favorite character besides Thomas, bro. And they just shafted him.
They did. They absolutely shafted him. Not as much as Edward, though. Anyway, so yeah, Mr. Conductor. Let's break down that character. This movie is like 500% more watchable, at least the scenes that he's in, if you just pretend that he's like a rehab patient who's like coming down off of his high and everything that you see around him is just like his mad ramblings. Because it, first of all, it makes more sense, but second of all, it's way more amusing to watch.
Oh yeah. It's just, it's, why put it out? You know what I mean? You got a successful TV show. Why put this movie out there? There's no need. No need.
Well, I mean, like, it makes sense to make a movie. I don't know why it needed to be theatrical, necessarily. If I was going to make a theatrical Thomas the Tank Engine movie, I probably would have had actual, like, face animation. And I would probably make a plot that, like, involved Thomas the Tank Engine.
I know. How do you fix this movie? Let's be honest. How do you fix this movie?
Well, first of all, you don't create a super high learning curve for toddlers.
True.
There's so much information introduced into this movie. Were you paying attention to that? Like, okay. I'm not up on my Thomas the Tank Engine lore very much, but as far as I know, there's no Diesel, there's no Lady, there's no other world that has human characters in it.
Right.
There's no magic drugs. And there's no magic railroad between two universes, because there's no two universes to begin with. So you have to get children up to speed on all of those ideas.
Right.
In an hour and, what, 20 minute long movie?
I mean, in an essence, I feel like they should have gone down the Lego movie route, in a sense, where there's a conflict with Thomas, right? Because the whole thing is supposed to be, it's supposed to look like a miniature set, right? And which I always thought it would be cool. But if they had this, like, breaking the fourth wall moment of realizing that, okay, this is kind of like a set, even though Thomas and all his members don't even know it is. So, like, there could be kids watching this story unfold while maybe Alec Baldwin is narrating what is happening throughout. So you keep the conflict within Thomas's world, so you keep it interesting. But yeah. Then you pan out to the kids asking questions about, like, okay, why is this happening? Why is, you know, Diesel dude doing all this sketchy stuff? And then you create a parallel between both worlds that is seamless, not like, oh, here is the real world and here's the magic world. And if you need to have this moment where everybody convenes into Thomas's world, you could have that moment where Alec Baldwin's character is like, all right, would you guys want to go into that world? And they're like, yeah. And then you have the magic dust. But I think saying, like, I just stripped the whole thing about, like, oh, you need to be a kid again. And I think I would change it where Thomas is so full of himself, because obviously his character is kind of full of himself within this movie, right? So Thomas has to learn something about his own growth and maybe being more helpful to everybody around him, and whatever conflict that becomes plays out. And maybe Diesel is trying to get Thomas to disrupt their whole dynamic because there's something important that Sir Topham Hatt has to do, you know? And Thomas is a big role in it. And maybe Diesel's trying to come in there and change Thomas's mind to believe that he's bigger than he is. And all of a sudden, Thomas no longer can be trusted by his friends. And then the whole third act is just like Thomas trying to reconcile with everybody and also kind of realizing that Diesel's character with the pinchy pinch is maybe not his friend. Like, Diesel is trying to take Thomas's position and be the top person in Sir Topham Hatt's eyes, essentially. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to sabotage Thomas, but Thomas doesn't know because he thinks that Diesel is trying to help him, but he's actually trying to diminish him. So that would be my storyline. That's how I would do the whole new thing. Like, to me, that seems more like an original story than doing, like, oh, here's all this 2000s magic drugs pills, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that sounds like a brilliant way to deal with it. And that way Diesel could be like a new character too. Like, have him be introduced to the cast like he is to the audience. And then,
yeah, right?
You know, and Thomas is like, oh, he's my new friend. And then he's not, but Thomas learns a lesson and learns how to, like, deal with his own thing. And yeah, you could have the kid characters be in there. They could have their own, like, little problems. Like, maybe they're not sure how. You could have, like, a new kid show up, a lot younger than Mara Wilson, who's, like, new in town and doesn't know, like, who to trust, but feels like they're better than everyone else because they're from the city and all the other kids are from this backwater area. And they're like, ooh, well, I'm really great. But then they also learn with Thomas that, like, whatever. And maybe that kid goes to the magical island of Sodor, like, right at the end, and he has to warn Thomas.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you could do, that's a great idea. I mean, you could parallel whatever those kids in the movie are to whatever's happening in Thomas's world. So, yeah, basically, there's a lesson to be had throughout, you know? Because I don't think having the kids in there is necessarily a bad idea. I just think it needs to be done in a way that is, like, actually makes sense. You know what I mean?
I agree. And then having them there is, like, right at the end, be encouragement to maybe Thomas and his friends, but have the majority of, like, their screen time being just as, like, obvious audience insert characters who can ask questions and help the kids relate to the story is kind of, I think, a great idea for a show, you know, aimed at little kids who may need some extra help in understanding what's going on, because this movie will certainly not help them understand what's going on.
No. I mean, as fun as Alec Baldwin having a mental breakdown over his withdrawals of his drugs is great, it's like, we don't need that in Thomas the Tank Engine. You know what I mean?
No. We absolutely don't. I mean, it's funny. For adults, it's funny. But even
But as a kid, that's why I didn't remember anything besides what I saw in Thomas. I think I literally zoned it out until I saw Thomas back on the screen.
Yeah. Well, it was like that one bit where you were like, what scene? Oh, the part where Diesel uses his claw and accidentally like hits the side of the awning that they're underneath and it falls on top of them. And you're like, oh, that's the first thing I remember from this movie. I'm like, yeah, because something actually happened.
Right?
Little kids need... the reason why the Thomas the Tank Engine series worked is because you were watching a bunch of actual things move around on the screen. So, like, when you're a little kid and you're watching that, maybe you don't understand everything, but then you have the narrator coming in and being like, oh, this is what Thomas feels and this is what happens. But that's supplemented with rocks falling down and... trains moving around and cars getting uncoupled and falling down hills and all this like action, so you can actually see things. And in this movie, there's way too much of just the characters, especially the train, well, both the train and the human characters, just standing around with each other and talking.
Right?
Which is the least cool way to communicate information to children.
Right?
I like that a lot better. Just completely ditch the storyline about Alec Baldwin's losing his sparkle. Like, that's so confusing for, like, added on to everything else that's going on in the movie.
Yeah. Like, what does the sparkle do for anybody else but Alec Baldwin?
Well, and his cousin.
Yeah. It's bro, Thomas is just like, bro, I'll let you get your hit, dog. Like, that's literally the moral of the story.
Yeah.
Like, Alec Baldwin's hope is to find joy somehow, and the only way he's found that is taking sparkle drugs. And literally, old man homie is like, I'm not happy unless this train turns back on. Like, I could care less. I don't care. Let it go, dog. Like, that's the thing about kids' movies. Letting go is a natural thing of life, and no kid movie just goes, well, it's time to accept that life's hard sometimes. They never do that.
Sometimes they do. Maybe not shows for babies, but I think a lot of kids, I feel like that's an appropriate, when it's done correctly, I think it's an appropriate way of dealing with, you know, you could put a lot of grief into your stories.
Sorry, I'll rephrase what I said. I think it should be done more often.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I agree with you. I think it's a great way of dealing with, like, loss. Like, teaching kids how to deal with loss and change and how to move on is actually, like, a pretty cool thing to put into a movie. Because it happens to everybody at some point.
Right.
But the problem is that this movie actually does the opposite. It tells you to, like, just keep banging on the same door over and over again until somebody gives you what you want.
Yeah, essentially.
That's exactly the wrong thing to tell kids.
Right.
Not that a kid would actually take that moral away from this story at all. Which is why I don't actually, like, mind it that much. Like, there are some kids' movies that just 100% get the moral incorrect, and it really bothers me.
Right.
Because it's so easy to see it. Like, here is, you know, exactly the wrong thing to take away from this film.
Yes.
And I could just see kids walking away and go, oh, of course, that's how we should treat each other, or that's how this works, or whatever.
Right.
There is no child who walked away from this movie and actually understood what any of it was.
Oh,
everybody was
God.
Like, there were trains and Thomas.
Like, to me, that's what's crazy, is that I watched this movie as a kid. I watched the whole thing, and I had no remembrance of what happened. Like, that's unbelievable, because I usually remember everything that I saw as a kid, and I don't remember anything that happened with these idiots.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I remember anything about this movie is because my younger brother absolutely adored it, and because he loved Thomas.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting through this movie a couple times and just being, like, straight up confused by it. Like, I could follow the plot well enough, but, like, I couldn't figure out, like, why the plot existed. I spent most of my time just, like, trying to piece together how all of this came to be in the first place. Like, I'm kind of, like, weirdly fascinated by the conductor and Junior.
Yeah.
And the fact that they apparently come from, like, this family of, like, dimension hopping fairies, I guess you could call them, like fae people.
Bro, hear me up. So they're magical, right? So I'm thinking about a certain sequel that they need to be in.
Which is?
Luck of the Irish 2.
No, not Luck of the Irish 2 again.
Bro, <No. laughs> dude, it's Seamus versus all Cleveland and now the Tank Engine.
How did we get on this topic again?
I don't know. We don't have to say here. I just was thinking magic. I just think of Luck of the Irish too.
No, continue.
Okay, so basically, Seamus is like, well, I'm OP now. And right at the end, he has this, you know, we're talking like Avengers moment. And all of a sudden, they have about 30 minutes of the power of the sparkle comes on everybody.
Okay.
So right when everybody is down, everybody from Cleveland and all the good leprechauns are down, bro, Alec Baldwin comes out of the darkness and brings the sparkle. And all the Tank Engines literally just come with all like pounds of sparkle, and it all goes up in the air, and all the people on the good side of the leprechauns and the people of Cleveland, all of a sudden, bro, they just turn into like the craziest people. And dude, they just go berserk. Like, some of them are flying, some of them are going really fast, some of them are just going crazy because of sparkle, you know what I mean? And dude, Seamus and his army of evil leprechauns, bro, they can't handle the sparkle, dude. They cannot handle the sparkle.
Does it make them all go crazy? Yeah. They all start talking to inanimate objects.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, while Alec Baldwin and all their group has superpowers, Seamus and all his group, bro, they have the opposite effect. Like, they go crazy. But only for 30 minutes, it wears off. So they gotta do their dirt real quick, you know what I mean? So anyway, that's another side plot to this epic movie.
Yeah, that's too. Right. It also involves Mr. Conductor and Junior coming from the Isle of Sodor.
That's the director's cut though. That's not the theatrical version.
Okay. The final cut.
Yeah, the final cut.
Look at the Irish 2, the final cut.
The final cut, bro. Alec Baldwin comes with his sparkles, bro. Oh, dude. And I just want to see, what's his, bro? Is his name Junior? The
Junior, yeah.
Yeah, bro. He's coming on like a Pegasus, bro. Like a giant horse. He's coming down. And he's like, oh, I'm bringing all this stuff. I was trying to do a Scottish accent. I can't. Bro, you know what I'm saying.
I do. Well, that's kind of how I felt when I was watching this movie. I'm like, I just really want to know what's going on with, like, Mr. Conductor and Junior. Because Junior seems like he's this... Because he's called Junior. Yeah. Which means that the real Mr. Conductor must be Junior's father, right?
Oh, yeah.
So... If the real Mr. Conductor, if the first Mr. Conductor, the original one, was Junior's father, and then he had Junior, and Junior's just kind of this lackadaise, perpetually high beach bum, then that must have been like an element of like disappointment, especially since it seems like he turned over the mantle to his nephew,
right.
Alec Baldwin, instead of his own son, because his own son was like... you know, not really reliable.
Yeah.
So I always wondered if, like, that was the significance of the ending when Junior's like, oh, I would love to work. Like, I've found joy in actually, like, doing my job. And he's, like, ultimately embracing his destiny that he's run from so long.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
That's what I thought about when I was, like, 10 and I watched this movie.
Right. I mean...
I was making up my own stories. But moving on to, again, kind of like in the fixing department.
Yeah.
Apparently, during my research, I also figured out that very late in the process, they also cut out the film's original main antagonist, who was supposed to be a biker called P.T. Boomer.
Oh.
Who was supposed to be Peter Fonda's character's rival, who was kind of like this... you know, angry biker dude, I guess. But apparently test audiences were kind of scared around him. So they cut him literally last minute. Like, I found a clip on YouTube of the original chase scene because they actually had it filmed with P.T. Boomer sitting on top of Diesel and, like, telling him to kill Peter Fonda. It's kind of great, actually.
Wow.
Do you think, because my initial instinct is, well, at least that would tie the real world to Sodor at the end, right?
Yeah.
But do you think that would have made it even more confusing? Like, is it better just to have Diesel as the main villain? Or do you think, as the movie stands, if you added in an antagonist for Peter Fonda to fight, do you think that would have helped?
Hmm. That's a great question. As long as you build a history between them that you can at least latch on to, not just, oh, hey, I just don't like you. Here we go. I want to kill you now. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be thought through enough for it to be like, okay, now this makes sense. I mean, that's what I kind of worry about, is that movie not being able to do that very well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it probably wasn't super well implemented, but
No.
It would do a lot for, I think, Peter Fonda's character, so that he wasn't just depressed all the time.
Right.
Like, if he actually had somebody who he sparred with.
Yeah.
But again, giving him specifically an antagonist continues to muddy the waters as to who the main character is supposed to be.
No, it's too much, man. It's too much. I mean, no, I don't think we need to. Like, yeah, I'm kind of glad they cut it out, but I'm still interested to see what that looks like. You know what I mean?
Apparently Diesel was also supposed to have an Australian accent. Like, the first actor that they cast had an Australian accent. That also tested very poorly with audiences.
Really?
Because it was too scary.
Oh, yeah, dude, Australians are scary, bro.
I don't know, man.
You'd be like, oh, mate, I'm going to rip you with my tickler.
I feel like the test audiences definitely, like, didn't ruin this movie. I don't think this movie had a lot to begin with, but I feel like it did make it a lot less fun to watch. Like, imagine this movie, but Diesel is Australian. And also there's, like, this really angry old biker running around and making Peter Fonda miserable. Like, how much fun is that?
Dude, that right there sounds incredible. Come on now, you know? I mean, it's so tough because sometimes the stuff on the cutting room floor, you're like, oh, thank goodness it's not in there. But sometimes with a movie like this where nothing seemed right, I want to know what everything was on the table. You know what I mean?
Same. Apparently, there was someone cast as an older version of Patch, who's the kid with, like, the downturned eyes.
Oh, yeah. Sad boy. Yeah.
So apparently he was supposed to, like, age up at some point in one of the scenes or something. Like, there's an adult actor for him that was cast, but whatever happened to those scenes, we'll never see them. And I'm like, how can you make this even more confusing? Like, there's a scene where you go back to them as adults. Like, where would that even fit in?
I know, right? That's crazy.
Was there, like, an aftermath where, like, Patch runs Shining Time as an adult? And it, like, and then Junior, like, whistles in and he's like, hi. That was the other thing I was confused by. Alec Baldwin and what's his bucket? So both the conductor and Junior.
Yeah.
Like, do they age less quickly than humans? Because when they met Peter Fonda, he seemed to know them and they seemed to know him, but they were kind of awkward about it. And I'm like, did they know him when he was a kid? Like, and they hadn't seen Lady, though.
Yeah.
They heard of her. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't think it really matters, but it's really weird conceptually.
Dude, that mom literally just abandoned her child. Do you see her back in that movie again? Nuh-uh.
No, she literally, like, just peaced out. And I was, like, trying to pay attention because I was like, I never remembered, like, why she sent Mara Wilson over to her grandparents' house. But,
Yeah. Super strange.
Yeah, I don't think they ever said even.
shout out to the white horse, though. Like, come on, beautiful.
Beautiful horse. Yeah, that whole scene was really good.
Yeah, I mean, whoever does the set designs, dude, kudos to them, because it's always beautiful. Like, they really put that effort in that little soundstage, man. I'm telling you, like, gotta give it up to them.
I agree with that. Absolutely. Like, the sets, honestly, the sets were the only great thing about this. The sets and, like, the different shots of, like, the beautiful locations that they were in.
Right.
And if you don't like that, then you're not gonna like this movie. Well, except for Alec Baldwin's various breakdowns. I feel like that's the other amazing part about this movie.
You know what?
If this movie was just Alec Baldwin interacting with Diesel, it actually would have been the best movie.
Bro. Yeah. What I need most is Alec Baldwin doing all his lines with nothing there. That's the perfect movie.
Oh, I agree. Or like what we were saying earlier, where like you just like made this an R-rated movie where it was like really weirdly cynical and awful.
They all swear, bro. Oh my gosh.
Like just turn it all up to 11. Dude. Like have everyone just be like horrible to each other all the time. Have the magic dust that's obviously drugs, like just be very overtly drugs the whole time.
They're not even ashamed.
The grandpa is just like needlessly depressed and like is in love with this train. And Mara Wilson just keeps getting shouted at all the time. Oh, it'd be a great film.
It would be a great film. You
could easily take something that's this like kind of messed up and really chaotically insane and make it into an amazing adult comedy.
Yes.
Like a very just off the wall, absurdist, kind of psychedelic comedy just about the absurdities of life. Easily, you could do that with
this. Oh, yeah.
That's all it's really good for, honestly. Because it's too confusing for any other audience. It's like the only way you could follow it is if you were an adult. But if you're an adult, you don't care.
Dude, I know. I mean, the meme material off the charts.
So off the charts.
Oh my gosh. We need screenshots. In our video, we need screenshots of like all their faces, man. They go crazy. Like, what in the world?
Yeah, that and what was it? The part where Toby is just like, what? I just what? Need that.
Dude.
I just want to play that like 15 times.
Dude, that needs to be the thumbnail for the video.
What?
Oh. Man, you know what? I think that's all I can really think of. I mean, just giving it obviously structure a sense, basically stripping it away. You either go more logical, more traditional Thomas the Tank Engine, or you make it you make it rated R and you make it just go crazy.
Yeah.
This middle ground ain't working. It ain't working.
Nah, it's just like it's too confusing for kids. Kids aren't gonna be entertained by it, probably. I mean, they will, but they'll get bored a lot during the middle. They won't really remember what's going on.
That's the best we can come up with, man. Watch out for that sparkles. Watch out.
Watch out for the spark. Don't let your sparkle go out, man.
Yeah, don't let your sparkle go out. Like, whoa.
Whoa, man.
Let me try to do another squad. Scottish accent, yeah. don't let your sparkle go out.
Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle.
Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us all. Good. All right. That's all I gotta say.
That's all we got.
That's all we got.
All we get.
Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle.
Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle.